I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Welcome to Prattleworld. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that the mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to another Puny Pod, a short-form podcast where I revisit a specific film or comic book all by myself. And today we're looking at one of my favourites from the 90s. I am a bit of a 90s kid. I was born in 88, in the springtime of 88, and I'm going to revisit one of my favourite comic book characters from the 90s, and made further on than that, a huge character that's had a massive influence on comics and superhero comic books in general. And we're going to talk about Wally West, the Flash. Now, he is my Flash. Now, again, I was born in 88, so by the time I was born, Barry Allen had been dead, died in the Crisis on Infinite Earths. He'd been dead for 2 years. So I grew up with Wally West, and he was the version that was mostly on TV. He's in the Justice League cartoon, and it's the one I'm more familiar with, the kind of jokey, kind of not too sure of himself, kind of average Joe. He's kind of working class hero. In a lot of interpretations, he's just a car mechanic, or he works for the police in some form. Not like Barry Allen, who's a kind of a police detective, kind of CSI kind of guy. He's very much a kind of average Joe, and he's kind of learning to live up to this legacy that his uncle had. He held the torch. It was, he kind of passed the baton, so to speak, to Wally, and he took up the mantle of the Flash. Now, he was nowhere near as powerful, and he had his doubts, and often would try to give up the superhero lifestyle. But this is the story that really, for me, kind of nailed him as the Flash. This is, he becomes the Flash throughout this tale. And the story we're going to talk about is The Flash, The Return of Barry Allen. So this was written by Mark Waid, one of my favorite writers, and the artwork was by Greg LaRocque. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And this storyline went across The Flash Volume 2, issues 73 to 79, technically. There is a kind of a slight crossover with the Green Lantern Volume 3, issue 40. If you want to read that, it's fine. It's not great. It's not terrible either, but it is part of this kind of storyline. But let's get into it. So, like I said, I'm a 90s kid. So in the 90s, there was a lot of rejuvenation in comics. So they would often, DC were basically at the time, were about legacy heroes. So the replacement characters, the replacement heroes that would take on the mantle, Dick Grayson became Batman for a while. Azrael became Batman for a while. There was all the reign of the Superman with all their replacements as well. You had the US agent taking over Captain America's role. You had Jim Rhodes as well. Obviously, I'm going to Marvel there. It was very much a practice that's happened and has happened since, to kind of shake things up. Like, we're getting the Falcon as Captain America very soon in the Falcon Winter Soldier miniseries on Disney Plus, which will be out next month. But DC were like the kings of that. I think Marvel has now become the kind of legacy character comic book company. DC have kind of gone back to the original, so they've gone back to Barry Allen. And I think it was a shame that they got rid of Wally West for a long time, but then he came back for Rebirth, and they've done some questionable things with him recently. But we're not going into that. This is his story. So it basically starts off, and, Flash has got, he's with his girlfriend. He's recently got with his girlfriend, and he's happy. He's happy in his role as the Flash. He's got a mentor in Jay Garrick, the original Golden Age Flash, and it's all going really well. And in this first issue, in 73, it's a Christmas issue as well. So, know how much I like my alternative Christmas stories. So they, in the end, I think there's a drug deal gone wrong, and they end up having to save a pregnant woman. And what a way to, you know, start off the Christmas holidays. But they receive the best possible gift they could ever receive this Christmas. Barry Allen is back from the dead. Some timey-wimey, you know, stuff goes on, and he's back. He's and everything they remember. He's this lovely guy, sweet guy, this heroic guy that made his amazing sacrifice to save all of existence, basically, tackling the anti-monitor the way he did, which was, you know, repeated in a form in the TV miniseries they did recently across the Flarrowverse, Arrowverse, if you will. But yeah, so he's there, and that's how that first issue ends. And the following issue is quite interesting, because Barry's back. He's a little wobbly. He doesn't remember everything. Doesn't remember quite what happened or how he's back. But he notices the changes in the world, the way things are. And Wally is very reticent to tell him that he's replaced him and taken on the role of the Flash, the modern day Flash. Obviously, Jay Garrick is there, and lots of Zubiras share names, so it's fine. But Barry Allen's legacy is Wally West, and he's got this new suit, and trouble starts, and Wally goes straight into work and doesn't really think about it, but he dresses up as the Flash. He's not yet revealed this to Barry, and Barry's a little, you know, he's not really sure how to take it. He's supportive and lovely because he's Barry Allen, but he's still a bit thrown by it, and he finds it a bit weird. But they go into action, you know, him, Jay, and Barry. It's, you know, it's the three generations of the Flash working together, you know, trying to... they're going against a very high-tech kind of criminal organization called the Combine, which shows up throughout these issues. They become the kind of main focus of the villain aspect, the story. So that's quite interesting. And this is like, Mark Waid's been writing the Flash for a little bit now, so he's kind of, I think this was his first writing gig, and he's one of my favorite writers. He seems to nail all the characters amazingly well and kind of get to the core of these characters. I've said, like, J.M. De Matteis can get to the core of the villains really well, but I think Mark Waid gets the heart of these heroes right correctly, and you identify, and I think what's great about Wally West is that Barry Allen at this point is this kind of saintly savior. He could have done no wrong. He is a hero above all else, you know, sacrifices so much all of the time, and constantly did throughout his life. Made some, you know, darker choices in the latter end of his career, but, you know, he's remembered because of his sacrifice. And I think that's not, like, for me, that wasn't really easy to grab onto when I was young. It wasn't like, because I didn't really know him. All I knew was the kind of sacrifice, this kind of, you know, Christ-like figure, saint-like figure. So for Wally West to live up to that dream, that vision of heroism is a hard task, and he finds it difficult, he's not as powerful, he's not as fast, he's not as clever, but he's doing his absolute best, and that's why I really identify with him, and with Carl Rayner as well, who's another great character from the 90s, another replacement hero or a legacy character, and it's wonderful, really wonderful story. It really taps into Wally West and his character and his doubts, his insecurities. They are rife throughout the story, and it only makes him more richer for the finale, when he kind of bounces back from that and, you know, puts one foot in front of the other and just plows on, carries on, always moving forward in a positive manner. But yeah, so it's interesting to see him work side by side as an adult Flash, because obviously he was Kid Flash. He was the sidekick to Barry Allen for a long time. You know, even in the Teen Titans, he still remained Kid Flash up until after the Crisis. And yeah, it's a fascinating it's a fascinating character piece. And for me, this is what got me into the Flash. This is my favorite Flash story, so I have a lot of kind of good memories of this. But yeah, so it starts off going really well. So all of the Flashes are protecting the Twin Cities, Keystone and Central City are, you know, next to each other. And it's going really well for so long. However, Barry starts to act a little weird. He starts, you know, he takes issue with certain things. He doesn't remember everything, or he doesn't have an emotional connection to some of his memories. He is a bit erratic, and he'll disappear. And initially, like, Wally is very wary
of Barry, because he doesn't mention his aunt. He doesn't mention the love of his life, Iris West Allen. Yeah, and he, until right at the end after an adventure, he runs to the Ferris wheel where he asked her to marry him for the very first time. And then he runs to the grave, a graveside, and talks to her. And it's really heartfelt. That's the time where Wally finally trusts it, because obviously there's clones, robots, and impersonators in these comic book stories that it could be. Even as Hal Jordan and Green Lantern come over, talk to him, and he even uses his ring to tell if he's lying, and he says, "No, I trust myself. I'm a good judge of character. That is definitely him." And the ring says it is as well. The ring believes what he's saying. So Wally's got nothing to doubt. Why would he doubt it? Why would he possibly doubt it? The best possible thing, this is great news. But he doesn't see it necessarily as great news for him, like on a personal level, and it's. I think he worries that he's jealous, or he feels that maybe Barry's taken something away, but the one true Flash, quote unquote true Flash, is back, and how could that possibly be a bad thing? But some things are often too good to be true. So like we're saying, that Barry is acting erratic, strange, and violent. There's a scene when they're fighting the Combine, all three Flashes, And Wally almost dies. There's a massive explosion while he's trying to save someone. He gets caught in the blast. And this kind of criminal is bragging that he's killed the Flash. He's finally killed the Flash. And Barry goes into a hyper-speed kind of violent, outburst, which you think initially is because Wally is hurt, is potentially dead, and he's climbing out of the wreckage. Wally kind of goes, "No, I'm fine, I'm fine. Don't hurt him. But he hears what he says, and he's saying that you've never killed the Flash. Barry Allen shouts, "You'll never kill the Flash. I'm the Flash. I'm the real Flash, and I will never die. You better know that I am the Flash." And which kind of throws Wally for a loop. It lessens his role and kind of demeans him and undermines his role of the Flash and all the work he's done since Barry's death. It's a fantastic way to get fast track, to get into the mind of that character and into a relatability for that character, and seeing how his brain works in such a way. It's identifiable. It's totally identifiable. And I think that comes a lot from kind of those early Spider-Man stories, and till this day, these Spider-Man stories that are all about the inner struggle, the human condition, that turmoil being a real human being is like, and the struggles we go through. But even still, Wally still believes in Barry. He still believes in his uncle. He still believes that he is him. He's probably just a bit muddled from, the time jump, or however he got back. He's probably still a bit, jarred from everything. And, this is a brand new world. Time has moved on quite a few years. Wally's an adult now. It's not, it's a different world altogether. It's still, hard to come back. Surely there's going to be some mental jarring coming back from the dead. Who wouldn't be a bit, thrown for a loop? So Wally continues to help in the battle against the Combine with Barry, with Jay. All the while, Jay has some misgivings as well, but he doesn't tell Wally. And he's starting to gather Golden Age speedsters, much like himself, just in case something isn't quite right or something is a little off. So he gets Johnny Quick, who he gets his kind of access to the Speed Force by a kind of formula, a mathematical formula, and that helps him kind of grab that power and use it. But he also he asks for help from Max Mercury, who is kind of the Zen master of speed. It's like a speed guru, if you will. Very spiritual, and kind of he finds his access to the Speed Force like that. And they're all very different. They all, have different set of abilities and different levels of abilities. But they're all willing to help. They're all heroes, out and out heroes. But the comes to a point where all up until this point, it's kind of like, it's just a bit off. It's not nothing like potentially evil Barry is doing. But it gets to the point where Wally and Barry are stuck, trapped inside a constricting force field. And the vibration, they can't, Barry, now Wally can't vibrate his molecules to become immaterial, you know, to basically phase through atoms to become, not unlike a ghost. He basically can do that at will, but Wally can't do that. He's not at the ability that Barry is, and that's what we know. But Barry basically says, "I'm going to leave you trapped in there because I'm evil, and you've stolen my mantle, you've stolen my power, you've stolen my city, and nobody remembers who I am. You've taken that from me, and I'm going to get it back. I'm going to make this city pay, and I need you to know that I'm going to do that." Now, Wally has got his kind of, he started to kind of vibrate through the force field, but hasn't got all the way. So if he stops vibrating, it'll basically cut him in half. But he manages to kind of really push himself and maintain that vibrational frequency to push himself through that force field and get out of the trap. But the way that Barry has treated him, he doesn't go back to his family, he doesn't go back to Jay, he doesn't go back to anybody. He falls into this deep, dark depression that he's not worthy of being the Flash, and that his uncle is evil, and how could I even, you know, compete with him or even match wits or match, you know, power with him. And that's when the Golden Age Flash characters, Johnny Quick and Max Mercury and Jay, go and they have this big face-off with the Flash. And then in that issue I mentioned with Green Lantern, they have a face-off as well, and he ends up destroying the Flash Museum, leaving it in rubble and pieces. And Wally, I think Wally tells Linda Park, who's his girlfriend at the time, that he's alive, but he won't tell anybody else. Keeps a very low profile. And again, he's still in this deep, dark depression until he finds a charred book in the alleyway that Barry rematerialized in. And he discovers that it's a biography of sorts of the life of Barry Allen, a life of the Flash. And it's not, things aren't all what they seem, basically. I'm not going to try and spoil it too much, but that basically gives Wally a kind of second wind. The information within that book tells him exactly what he needs to know. And he goes back to the speedsters, he reveals he's still alive. He goes, right, I need to defeat Barry. I need to know all the tricks of the trade, any advice I can get from you guys who are more experienced than me. What can I do? And one of the main things that we discover is that Wally has a mental block. Max Mercury believes that Wally has a mental block that's stopping him from fully accessing his powers to their utmost. There's so much untapped potential, but the mental block is that he doesn't really want to replace Barry, never has. He's just doing it, he's carrying on that legacy. And once he finally embraces his role and his powers as the Flash and truly does all the things that Barry could do, that's when he's fully replaced him, and potentially that the world will forget about Barry, which he doesn't want to happen. He wants that to still be there, even throughout, even with his actions, you know, in the recent days and recent months, he still wants that legacy to remain. And Max Mercury says, you're going to have to get over this. You're going to have to start thinking not in a logical, scientific way, but more in a kind of, you know, again, almost like a spiritual way, that the speed has to, you know, that you have to utilize that speed. He has to be one with the speed, I guess. It's very, very much like, you know, very Zen guru kind of force talk, you know, be one with the force, the speed force, you know, that sort of thing. But no, it gives him food for thought. And he goes, and, you know, after this, he kind of admits this and, yeah, admits this mental block to himself and has to overcome it and to be all he can be, to be the one true Flash that is needed. And he knows the secret of Barry Allen. Again, I don't want to spoil it too much because I think it's a really good kind of twist in the tale, but it's a really fun read. And I think this is the point where kind of Mark Waid started to streamline the idea of these fast characters and why can they all do this thing and why are they all so fast and what gives them their power. And I think in the coming issues, he introduced the idea of the Speed Force, and it manages to streamline all their origins together and combines all these speedster characters, introduces Impulse, who would go on to become the Kid Flash and then the Flash. There's all these different kind of different avenues and powers and abilities that were unaware of the untapped potential of the Speed Force, because none of them really know what it is or how it works. And this is really the first time that they sort of, Jay Garrick got his powers from heavy water or hard water or something like that, like originally. And, Johnny Quick's from the mathematical thing, and, Max Mercury has his own reasons for, glomming onto the Speed Force, but it's a very unique power source. And recently they've introduced things like the Strength Force and various other things like that into the kind of the Flash mythos. But this was a time where Flash was really kind of being deconstructed and reconstructed and rebooted in a way that made sense and for modern comic book writers and readers and everything. Geoff Johns would come back, would come on after this at some point in the future, and he would kind of do the same thing, but for the Rogues. Like, he would reintroduce and reinvigorate the Rogues the way that Mark Waid reinvigorated the Speedsters and the Speed Force, and kind of brought them together to be this big kind of Speedster family. And even more so when they brought back Barry Allen in Rebirth and various other stories after that. And Barry Allen has been the main one, the Flashpoint as well, obviously, is a big, great Flash story, but this has got to be one of my favourites. And the villain of the piece is, I won't spoil it, but it's a familiar face if you know your Flash lore, but he is kind of, I'll try not to spoil it too much, but it's a great finale, great story, really well told. I do like the artwork. It's not my favourite artwork, but I appreciate the artwork, and it's a fun read, and it looks great. It's a fun book, and I know that this kind of feels, I think this is kind of the finale for the artist as well. I think he'd drawn the Flash for quite a while at this point, so I think this was kind of his swan song. But what a swan song! It's such a great story. I recommend this as if you want to start reading a Flash story, I'd probably start here, I think, because it's nice, it's simple, it's very straightforward for the most part. It's fun. The characters are great. He's identifiable. The story is identifiable. We all want to be the best we can be, and faster, better, stronger, you name it. We want to be all those things, and we're not always able to do that. We're not always, have the ability to do that and to overcome our foibles and things. But some days we are, and some days we can do that. And I feel like this is a really good story and showcases the Flash in the best possible way and humanizes the character, which I think was missing from potentially a lot of the Barry Allen stories. Because I think those kind of early Barry Allen stories is not... Obviously, they made, headway in, like, villains and superpowers and all that, but I think character-wise, I don't think they're always the strongest, those kind of early 60s or 50s books or even earlier, depending on the writer, depending on the scenario, depending on the characters. But I think this, for me, is when I went, you know what? I love The Flash. I think The Flash is a fantastic character and, had very much untapped potential at the time. There'd been a TV show, sure. There was a better TV show coming along. There's been, films with the characters in, and every iteration is everyone's got a favorite Flash, everyone's got a favorite Batman, or a favorite whoever. Like, replacements are replacements, but they still are interesting. It's unique. It's definitely worth seeking out. You can get it in a collection, which is The Flash by Mark Waid, Book 2. There are a couple of stories in between some of the issues, but I would kind of come back to those. Again, the Green Lantern issue is in the middle somewhere, and there is an annual for Bloodlines, which is a very 90s kind of comic book series about new people with superpowers, but very 90s. There's a lot of blood. Blood was in the title for everything in the 90s. And this is a time where 90s, like, this is a good 90s comic. Like, there's a lot of not so great stuff in the 90s, and there's some really good stuff in the 90s. And being a 90s kid, there's a lot of stuff I really loved. I love Nightfall. I've got a soft spot for the Clone Saga, sort of, and not for the most part, but there's bits in there I really like. A lot of characters and stuff. The 90s 1990s isn't all bad for comics. I know it was a difficult time business-wise and everything, but highly recommended seeking out this particular 90s comic. You can probably get a smaller kind of graphic novel, an older one, possibly on eBay if you look for it. So again, The Return of Barry Allen, as it's known. I'm not sure if it's available as a single story on Comixology or anything. But the Mark Waid book two is definitely 100%. Book one's okay, but he was kind of just warming up, you know. But this is a heck of a run. So I'm really enjoying it. I've got a few more to read yet, but I am enjoying Mark Waid's run. And I've read a few stories before, but I'm definitely going to finish this off. And then I want to go on to the Grant Morrison Mark Miller run, and then back onto the Geoff Johns run, which is a great run as well. I've read quite a few stories from him as well, but not the full run. So I'm going to really get stuck in and enjoy that as well. There was a really good comment he made, I think, in one of the books. I think something like, you know, Superman rises above us, you know, Batman hides from us, Wonder Woman preaches to us, and The Flash runs alongside us, because, you know, he is the working class hero. He's with us all the way, and you know we're all the average Joes, and he's there alongside with us. You know, he's doing the 9-to-5 and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's a great book and it's a great read. And if you like The Flash, or even if you don't like The Flash, I would definitely give this a go, because I think it might get you more in the kind of vein of the character, make you understand the character a bit more. Obviously, this isn't the main Flash that's in the most current comics. He does make appearances, this Flash, but a younger version. But still, I think it's a good way to get inside the head of Barry Allen as well, and his legacy and understanding the history of the Flash. But it's very easy to get into, so I highly recommend it for comic book readers and non-comic book readers. If you do get a chance, just go and read it. But yeah, that's all I have to say on it. It's really, really good. It's a fun read. It's got all your favorite characters in. Just go out and read it. Read more comics in general. Always read more comics. You know, it's a dying industry, and we need to support all the artists and all the people that are involved in that. Always, always good. Right, so that's it for this Puny Pod, because we're coming to a close. Okay, so you can find me on the social medias at Secret Boars on Facebook. On Twitter, it's @Dan_Boars. Instagram, Spider Dan Secret Boars, all one word. And this is available on this podcast is available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, and many, many more. And if you'd like to donate towards the podcast, you can buy me a coffee. So that's Ko-fi. So ko-fi.com/SpiderDan and the Secret Boars. And also, if you're going to interact with us, don't forget to use the hashtag #PrepareForPrattle. Goodbye, guys, and thank you very much.